Want to go, pretty boy?
Two minutes by yourself and you feel shame, you know, and then you get free.
The only thing better than a glass of beer is tea with Miss McGill.
And welcome to the Fourth Line Voice Podcast. My name is Darren. Thank you very much for tuning in. Episode 335 of the Big Show, some enforcer-based podcasting coming at you, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. Oh, back in the saddle, folks. How are you guys doing? It seems like it's been months since I talked to you. Yes, fresh off my stint in Sin City out in the desert, Las Vegas. We're back. Unfortunately, I don't have any giant novelty checks in my back pocket, so I've got to go back to singing for my supper, but it was a good time, and I'm going to tell you all about it. Oh, I'm sure you're just thrilled. Hey, pull up. Let's watch some family slideshow. To talk about that. Some preseason shenanigans and people already crying. Season hasn't even started yet. We're already crying. I'm not even going to talk about the Blue Jays. Scoring one run and two playoff. It really showed up there in the clutch in game, in the game two here. Yeah, we're going to get just shut out. Yeah. Oh, here. Yeah. Another season of the Jays. Anyway, that, and I won't even talk about how they messed up my $600 parlay in Vegas, but, we probably will talk about it. I'll rant about that in a couple minutes, but, I'll talk about Vegas. We'll talk about, some preseason shenanigans. Then we're going to have the Bob Probert's all time top 10 fights. Yes. According to, I have it saved him or minimized in my browser here. What site is it now? The Detroit Sports Nation. And this was in, November 20th, 2021. Top 10 Bob Probert fights of all time. All right. So we'll do that. That'll be interesting. And, So sit back, folks. Let me regale you with some audio pleasure. As I always say, kick back with your cheese sandwich in your cubicle, close your eyes, and watch the sights and the sounds as they fly through the air. All right. We'll be going from left to right on your radio dial. We ready? Okay. Here we go. It seems like I said, it seems like forever since I have done this. I can't remember if I said it on the air or not. I know I mentioned it to a few people, but so I'm going to act like I said it on the air, but if not, just go with me on this. I know my last episode, first of all, 334, was my interview with Jonathan Aitken. Of course, that was uploaded while I was in Las Vegas. I hope you guys checked it out. Jonathan was a great guy, fun to talk to, an old 90s dub guy. So, you know, I got a soft spot for those cats, and, especially 90s WHL. It's like my wheelhouse time for as being a fight fan was the 90s for sure. So fun guy to talk to. I hope you checked it out. But before I was going to, on the Sunday, put out an episode. Season two of Shorzy was coming out. Morasti had just come off a spit and chiglets. It was Morasti mania. He was the number one guy looked up on HockeyDB, the whole deal. Well, I was going to re-upload my John Morasti interview that I did way back when on my original fourthlinevoice.com platform. So I went back and found the old audio file. And listen to it. His sound was not good. You could hear him, but he was clearly on a Bluetooth and he was driving and it was a little faint. I mean, I had headphones on and I was having trouble. So I can imagine if you had it through your phone or through your car. You could hear everything he was saying. It wasn't like, what? You know, like you could understand him, but it was just like, I just wasn't a fan of the audio. And, which is odd for me to say because not that I've been a real stickler about it before, but, put it this way, if I had a guest on and that was going on now, I would know enough to stop it and either have them find a better place for their, cause everything's on, we've all had cell phone conversations, right? When you're talking to somebody and it's what? You're breaking up. You know, are you in a tunnel? That shit, right? Well, sometimes that happens when you have guests and they're walking around because it's hard, you know, they're going to sit there for 2 hours, you know, in a chair, you know, so they're going to walk around or they have earphones or whatever, you know. So sometimes it goes in and out, whatever. I think it did that a couple times with Aiken's thing. And some guys have done it while they're driving through the Bluetooth. Sometimes the sound is fine. Other times it's a little sketch. But, you know, you try to work around it. I would have paused it, worked with them a little bit or whatever. Point being, I don't think I would have let this interview. I would have told you at a better time because the sound wasn't good or whatever. But at the time, I was just a youngster breaking in and, you know, and you had deadlines and I wanted to get it out there. So, again, it's not terrible. But I went and looked and it's actually episode 2. Well, I originally was on Fourth. When I was on my own, I wasn't on the network on my own show, fourthlinevoice.com. I had my own site. Well, I was about 40-some episodes in and it got hacked and I lost all the stuff. So I figured at that point, I'm giving you a brief history here, that my podcasting career was done and that was it and, you know, whatever. I'm sure the 8 people were going to be devastated that I wasn't doing a show anymore. And then it was a couple months later, Isha from the Hockey Podcast Network reached out, said, hey, do you want to come on our platform? All you got to do is send us the audio files. We'll do the rest. Well, goddamn, that's all I needed to hear. And away we go, 335 episodes later. But my point was, of course, when my site got hacked, all those episodes were gone. Like, they couldn't access them anywhere on the internet. They were gone. And I wanted the solo episodes that I had done at the time and give a shit, but I wanted to get the player interviews that I had done back up on, because it was, I had good player interviews. It was like Morasty and Wingfeld and I want to say Steve McIntyre. I mean, Joey Tedarenko. I had a bunch of good ones and I definitely wanted, and they took the time to talk to me and I wanted to get them back out there. So what I was doing is much like Lazito's doing right now. I kind of did a From the Vault. So Sunday I would do a Vault episode where basically it would be a new intro, but then I'd upload the old interview to get it on the back out on the internet. And then Wednesday would be my new show. Of course, you know, as that, the Vault ran its course and I got all the interviews back up, I just sort of kept going Sunday and Wednesday, but Sunday became new content. So anyway, to make a long story longer, if you want to listen to the Morasty interview, it is actually episode 2 of this show. So you got a lot, you're going to get carpal tunnel scrolling down here from episode 335 down to episode 2. But, and again, it's an older interview, but it's about his career. So it's evergreen, right? It's not like that changed. So, and John's always a good interview, gives good answers and stuff. So, I would, you know, again, the audio's eh, but yeah, I mean, you can understand, you can hear him and shit and it's, you know, whatever. It's a good interview. So I encourage you. But I talked to John about a month ago through text, and he always is like, yeah, if you ever need anything, let me know, and I'll come on. So I think I'll do a five, and we don't need to rehash his whole career again, but I think we'll do a 5 toughest opponents, and obviously talk about Shorzy, and actually at Ice Wars. You know, he's a big part of Ice Wars behind the scenes, so kind of get an update on what's going on there. I know I've had a few people ask me, like, hey, what's going on with Ice Wars, and when's the next one? And I'm not quite sure. I don't know if the owner... it's not a financial, I believe it's a health, whatever, I don't want to get into all of that, but it's not like it's gone away or they went bankrupt or folded, it's in a holding pattern right now, and, but I'd like to talk to John about that and where the plan for Ice Wars is to go ahead and what they plan on doing, so I'd like to talk to him about that because I don't think anybody else has actually talked to him, I don't think it came up on the Spit and Chicklets interview or anything, so, but anyway, that's kind of what's going on, so, yeah, anyway, I didn't upload the episode, obviously, so anyway, the only episode I did while I was, not that I was gone for that long, was I gone for 6 days, but was the Aiken interview, which I hope you guys checked out, but anyway, well, before we get into that, obviously, my compatriots were still rolling at the Hockey Podcast Network while I was gone, and of course, Alec over there at the Five for Fighting Podcast had a really cool guest on. He had Luke Gazdick on. Good interview. They talk about fights. You could tell in the, yeah, Gazdick's really is a fight guy. He's enthusiastic about talking about them. Really technically breaks shit down on what he was thinking and going into the fights. And, it's a cool interview. Plus, Gazdick does his own podcast. So, I mean, he knows the game. He knows how to talk. He knows what to do. And, yeah, good interview. Definitely check it out. You know, always cool. I know he's a new guy, a current, well, he's not a current guy, but newer. But I actually have a couple months back did a player spotlight on Luke Gazdick and went down that rabbit hole. And and was really impressed. I mean, I always liked Gazdik, but when you do kind of the player thing and you go down and, you know, sit for an hour and a half or whatever down the rabbit hole and really kind of watch the progression and, you know, watch his junior stuff and his American League stuff and then the NHL and you really get a feel for a guy. It's like, you know, he's a bad dude, man, and bad punch with bad intentions. And I was a big Gazdik guy. And so it was really cool for Alec to get him on the show, and they did a great job. So I encourage you to check out that episode, the Five for Fighting podcast. And Alec has a great back catalog as well. And yeah, so definitely check that out. And then, of course, we got the Coliseum Chronicles with Jolton Joel Lozito. And he is re-upped, as I said, kind of with like my Morasty stuff. He has uploaded Mick Fakota Part 2 from the lost episodes. And again, I've said it a million times already, and I'll say it every other time. I don't know how many parts I think it's three or four, the Fakota thing, interview, but I have said it in terms of player documentary / podcast interview, Joe's Mick Fakota interview is probably the best podcast interview ever done in terms of like a guy's career, the stories, the background. Fakota's a great storyteller. Even if you're like, oh, body slam, I never liked them and what, nah, shut up. Believe me. If you listen to it, you'll like Fakota by the end of the interview. Again, good, you know, just a real good storyteller, and him and Lozito have a really good rapport. So the back and forth is really good. It's not clunky. And, yeah, no, definitely check it out. And like I said, when Joe talks to these guys, it's different. It's like, cause Joe knows, like a lot of these guys, Joe has a personal, like he's met them before and back in the day and whatever. And it's not like it's a stranger just phoning a guy up out of the blue, like me and Aiken or something, you know. There's been a rapport there for a bunch of years. So, and you can hear it in the interview. And I encourage you to check it out. It's really good. But, and if you're on the YouTubes, again, Fourth Line Voice on YouTube, I have over 2,000 fight videos. Please subscribe to the channel. If you watch a fight that you like, hit the thumbs up button. I don't know, I always sound so corny, it feels so corny saying that, but YouTube loves that shit, it helps in the algorithms and stuff, and you'd be doing me a big favor, or any YouTube channel, if you enjoy their content, honestly, subscribe to the channel, hit the thumbs up on the video. I myself have been trying to do that a lot lately when I'm watching, because I watch tons of YouTube videos, not fights, but just, like, well, fights as well, but like everything, and I've been really trying to, okay, right, hit that, because I never did before. Hit the thumbs up button because, again, it helps the creator out. And, you know, for people, and again, whenever I say this, to do a rating, if you're listening to iTunes, Spotify, rate the episode or rate the podcast, the star rating. Again, it's to help out the creators. It helps in the algorithm. So if you guys could do that, again, I'm not just saying it. Oh, do it for me and only me. Everybody, every podcast you enjoy, believe me, the creator would appreciate you hitting the star ratings. So, same thing on YouTube. If you enjoy a video, hit the thumbs up. People appreciate it. But not only my channel, but of course, Alec, the Five for Fighting YouTube channel. He's got all the East Coast League fights up there. And Jay, don't fuck with my premiums out in Iowa. Pops, Mike, control them. You got to dial that down. Easy, big fella. Actually, I don't blame him for being hot at all. It's someday, folks, I'll have Jay from Iowa on the show, and you guys will understand what I'm talking about. But for right now, there are three people that understand. There are three people in this world that understand what I'm talking about. D, as in the letter D, Skunk, like the animal, go to D Skunk on YouTube. He has all the Southern Pro League fights from last year, as well as he's been doing it for over a decade. So he's got some old IHL stuff. He's got Jonathan the Hammer Tremblay when he was in the UHL with Quad Cities. He's got McIntyre. He's got a bunch of Quad City AHL fights. Good shit on there. Go way back. So definitely check out his channel. So, but folks, let's get into this, shall we? What were we talking about? Oh, my Vegas trip. Well, I'm sure everybody wants to hear about this, but, you know, I'm not going to go on long about it. Yeah. How about this? I'll make it short and brief. Uh-huh. Well, first of all, I think I could call this my week on the internet, but it's just like my week in real life. Oh, the amount of dummies that I ran into. Well, first of all, I love Las Vegas. We go all the time. We go every February. But We met September was going in September was different for us this time. My wife had a bunch of extra earned days off that she had to use before the calendar year was up. I have about 8 billion vacation hours, so I can go whenever. And we had a bunch of comp rooms and shit. So it was like, you know what? Why not? Right? Check out Vegas at a different time of year. We had never been down there in September. So we went down. The pools are still open because normally we go in February. The pools aren't open. So it's air quote winter down there, although I'm walking around in shorts. But no, we got down there this year. It was warm. It was in the mid-30s. The one shitty day where it was like 20. But, 90s for you American folks. But yes, it was in the 30s for us Canadians. We spent the morning down by the pool again because we had never done the pool thing in Vegas before. So my fatness and whiteness was out at the pool getting some sun. I got red, but didn't get burned. I got burn-ish, but nothing too bad. It wasn't Mexico. Had fun doing that, then went bombing around. Before all that, I'm getting ahead of myself. First of all, when we're flying, I always marvel at this because it happens every time. They call your flight from Saskatoon to Las Vegas is now boarding. Zone 1 passengers, please come to the line up. So that's us. We're Zone 1 because, I have the Hockey Podcast Network credit card. So, I fly first class. I wonder what the poor people are doing. So I got that kind of scratch when you have a big podcast like this. No, but we happen to be at the front of the plane. Well, I know there's only five in air quotes first class, but premium seats, there's like 10 seats. So there should be 10 of us standing up here, plus a couple people in a wheelchair, and maybe a little kid or two. That's the extent of who should be up here boarding right now, as they've called. Half the airport's in front of me. I'm like, not that I'm like, I'm important, let me go, but it's just like, dumb shits. They said zone 1. You're in like zone F. Why are you standing here? The plane's not going to leave without you. So get the fuck out of the way while they go in order. Zone 1, zone 2, blah, blah. As these people, literally the man and woman in front of me, they get up to the ticket person and she looks at him and she's just like, she goes, you're in like zone 3. Can you move? We'll call you when we're ready. While we're here now, that she's just like, move. So they got out of the way. I'm just like, what? Why are people? And there's like a bunch of people standing around by the gate. Like the plane ain't leaving without you. Like it's not, like what are we doing? Just listen. I said, those people that come up, they should be banned from flying, like, or kicked off the flight. It's like, no, you're dumb. You can't even listen to a simple instruction, so you're out. You have no vacation for you. It's like the soup Nazi, right? No soup for you. No vacation for you. So anyway, get on the plane. Off we go. No delay. Actually, we were early, both going and coming and going, so that was nice. And here's a tip for you guys. Pro tip, folks. If you don't have one and you're going to, and you're a big, and like when you vacation, you like rent cars and shit. If you're not brand loyal or whatever, or I guess they probably all have cars, but whatever, we always go to budget. Get the budget fast break, the card. Doesn't cost anything, but you sign up. So when you book your car, all that shit's done online, obviously. Because when we landed, then when you land in Vegas, you got to take the car rental tram over to the car rental deal. We get there. You're towing your bags. It's hot out. Okay. You flew. It's only a 2.5 hour flight. But still, you've been on the plane. You just want... You're in Vegas. You want to get going, right? Well, we roll into the airport, and we look at the car rental places. They're jammed. Like, budget had to have had 15 people standing in line waiting for cars. Hey, we have the fast pass thing we've had for a bunch of years. It's straight out to the car thing. Go over to the budget booth. Hey, we're here. Let you know. Your name's up on a big scoreboard. Oh, yeah. Your SUV's waiting over an F10. Off we go. There, it's sitting there. Throw the bags in. We're gone. 2 minutes after arriving on the airport shuttle, the car rental shuttle, we're out on the Vegas Strip already. So meanwhile, everyone else is still standing in line at the budget counter. So get your fast break. Like I said, it doesn't cost anything. Do that. I'm sure National has a card. They all probably have advanced speed cards or whatever, you know, whatever. Well, I know Putty does the National commercial where he just walks through the thing and hops in the car and leaves. That's the cat's ass, folks. There you go. That's a pro tip for you. I would definitely do that. It's well worth it. So, yeah, so we had that. We were bombing then. And, of course, first thing you got to do, everybody laughs at me, but hey, got to hit the Walmart because you need some room food, need some room booze. So, yeah, I picked up my Rolling Rocks and, you know, we had some spray cheese, some, you know, all that fun stuff. You got to have some beef jerky, you know, a banana in the morning, you know, calm the guts, but a couple energy drinks and we were ready to rock and roll. So, yeah, hit Vegas running and, yeah, got up a few bucks the first night and first couple days I did okay. Not the thousands or anything, but yeah, basically sat there, drank my weight in beer and played video poker and probably up about 300 or 400 for the first couple days and managed to give that back. But no, had some good meals and just the wife enjoyed the shopping. You know, I would go around, hit the Ross stores, whatever, hit a couple malls and shit. And she got some cheap clothes and whatever. Like I said, I'm just happy I'm not at work, so I don't give a shit. You wouldn't catch me dead in the mall here for more than 10 minutes in Saskatoon, but down when we're on this, down in the States, shit, I don't care. You know, whatever. I'm on vacation and, plus just people watching in Las Vegas is just amusing anyway. So, yeah, had some interesting conversations. It's funny when you tell people you're from Canada, I may as well say I'm from fucking Mars. They look at me like I'm a space alien. And I'm like, you know, we share landmass, right? Like, how do you not know anything about Canada? I don't understand it. Like, I'm not saying you got to know every goddamn capital city and every, you know, premier of each province and stuff. But I mean, holy, can you not know their provinces? Like, I can name you every state if I had to, you know, I don't know. It's just weird. But yeah, I may as well have been from, well, I was going to say a foreign, I guess I am from a foreign country, but it's like, it's North America. Like, come on, you know, but, anyway. I had some, yeah, y'all come through the snow? No, it hasn't snowed yet. Like, no, like, anyway. I had one lady, I knew you weren't from here, y'all sound funny. I'm like, I'm the one that sounds funny in this conversation? All right. yes, but we had fun, actually, didn't have any problems, everyone was really cool. We stayed at for those that didn't ask, I'm going to tell you anyway, we stayed at the Orleans. It's about 5 minutes off the strip. It's a locals place. It's a casino and everything, but it's a locals place. It's actually where the Las Vegas Wranglers minor league team used to play at the arena there. Yeah, I mean, we like it. It's not the, you know, friggin' Bellagio or Wynn or anything. I mean, it's a locals place, but we got free rooms and, actually they comped us all the nights. So that was pretty cool. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm a locals guy anyway. I'm a blue collar guy. I'm not wearing suit and tie when I'm in Vegas. It's flip flops and shorts, right? So, yeah, I fit in with the locals drinking my dollar Miller Lights. So I was good. But, no. Oh, and I will say that the Henderson Silver Knights, the American Hockey League team, their arena in Henderson, which is a suburb of Las Vegas, it's really nice. You know, we spent some time in Henderson, Anthony, I hope you're listening out there. I hope you're doing well. I should have told you we were in town, actually. Really nice. Henderson's really cool. Yeah, it was just a fun trip. I will say Vegas right now, of course, they have the big F1 race that's happening on the strip in November. And what a gong show. I mean, they cut down all the trees in front of the fountain. It's just, what are you doing? They think this is going to generate billions of dollars. I don't see why they were, to me, they're just, I don't know what they're doing with this F1 bullshit, but there's construction everywhere. And we stayed the hell off the strip. I'm not a big strip guy anyway. We went to Fremont Street and shit, and then went to, like, Outliers, Silverton, South Point. People that know Vegas know what I'm talking about. Red Rock, Green Valley. We did those play. I didn't want anything to do with the strip. We've been going to Vegas for over a decade. I've done the strip a million times. I don't need to see it that bad. Plus, we're probably going back in February anyway. When the race is over in November, whatever, then I'll go back to the strip. The only thing I missed out on was Ellis Island, but, you know, Yeah, they're built that bleachers on the strip and blah, blah, blah. Oh, it's what a nightmare. I feel sorry for the people that live there. But, yeah, crazy times down there. But anyway, let's get on with it. I'm sure everyone really gives a shit about my Las Vegas journey and what's going on. But I thought I would share what's happening in the life of Darren here. But it was fun to get away. I needed the time off. I'm sure everyone listening needs a vacation. But yeah, it was much needed break from work. And I'll tell you, these last couple of going back to work, oof, these first couple of days have been long, I can tell you. Yeah, and it's just, oh, well, my fill-ins did pretty good, so that it was nice to not come back to a complete disaster, so, yeah. And I've had actually a couple people, because I did talk about the supervisor position that I was applying for. They have actually not made a decision yet, so, no, I have not heard, so, you know, so, you know, but we'll see what happens there. There's kind of a part of me that's, yeah, I don't know if I really want it anyway, but no, they have not made a decision. So thank you for those that asked, but nothing yet. Yeah. Well, we should probably do some sponsorship stuff and then we'll get into the meat of the matter, shall we?
And now here's a word from our sponsor.
Football is back in full swing with another week of epic games. And who's got you covered on the action for every single one of them? DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet $5 on football and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Nobody's missing out on the action this season. All DraftKings customers can take advantage of two new offers every game day this September. Get in on the NFL Week 2 action with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use the code THPN to sign up. New customers can bet just $5 and take home $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.sot1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of the Boot Hill Casino and Resorts in Kansas City, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms for eligibility, terms, and responsible gambling resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply.
And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
All right. Well, as I said at the start of the show, some preseason shenanigans. A few things crossed my timeline that I was made aware of, and then I looked in deeper on a couple of the things. Well, the first one, I'll start with one of the fights, and who I'm a fan of, is Jake Doty and Josh Brown rumbled in. I believe the game was in Australia, was it not? The LA Phoenix game. Or Arizona, whatever. And Doty and Brown had a really good battle. Yeah, I've been a fan of Jake Doty since he played in the Western Hockey League. Was brought to my attention. Big kid, played Medicine Hat. You know, in Seattle. Yeah, and it'll be really interesting. I know he's already been let go by LA, down to Ontario, whatever, at the Rain. But he should definitely be one of the better, tougher guys in the American League this year. I believe last year he got injured. He didn't play very much last year. And he's been kind of, when he does play, he's put up some fight numbers. I know he was over in the UK for about a season and a half, 2 years. I know the first year he had a pretty strong season over there. I know the year he played in Nottingham was sort of a, kind of a waste of time, but, did not a lot of fighting. Obviously good, you know, save his hands. I'll give him that. But yeah, he is back in the American League. And, last year, I think he only played 9 games or something, but, so hopefully he stays healthy and puts in a full season this year. I think we'll definitely see some pretty good tilts out of him. Josh Brown, I don't know much about. Big guy though. I mean, bigger than Doty. I think he's about 6'5". He did really well in the fight. Looked good. So, I mean, you know, again, one of those current guys I just don't pay much attention to. I mean, I've probably seen Josh Brown fights before, but nothing that sticks out in my mind. But nonetheless, for preseason tilt, pretty darn solid, I gotta say. You know, I mean, I know I have a lot of old fuddy-duddies that listen to the show that I don't like current hockey. Hey, I'm right there with you, obviously, but I will watch current fights, you know, because fighting's fighting, and if it's a good one, I'll let you know. And this is a good one. And I think if you went down the Jacob Doty rabbit hole, you would enjoy his tilt. So I would highly recommend doing that. But the controversy, I just laugh that this is controversy. Mark Stone. Oh, everybody. Oh, he's classless and all. Oh, yeah. Okay, so LA and Las Vegas are playing. Preseason game, of course. And Hayden Hodgson. A young kid with LA, just trying to make the team. He has, I think he's been a pro for about 5 or 6 years. He has 6 NHL games to his credit with Philadelphia. So he's battling for a spot and everything else. Well, he basically runs over Mark Stone in the corner. And Stone doesn't like it. The Vegas doesn't like it. And they get up. And, of course, the scrum ensues. And nothing really happens. I mean, there is whatever. But everybody, I see all these people online crying, oh, the clean hit, and here we go. We have to have fights after. Nobody fought, but whatever. And I even had, there was like former players. Oh, what's this problem? Quit being a pussy. It was a clean hit. Suck it up. Do you think that's why that was going on? Like, come on, boys. Like, are you serious? Like, has everybody bought into this after every hit there's a fight bullshit? Because go look at in the same breath, you'll say they don't fight anymore. Well, so then what is it? Like, I guess they don't really hit anymore. Well, they don't really hit anymore. I guess I'm answering my own question. But the numbers don't... I've said this ad nauseum, and I guess I'll be saying this all year, because every time something happens, people bring this horse shit up. The numbers don't add up to what you're saying. You have teams with single-digit fight totals on the year. How many times did you cry about the Leafs getting run over and nobody doing anything about it? Well, their answer is your question. I guess they don't fight after every hit, so stop with that. But I'm like, I don't know why I have to lay this out. And my old friend there, Double H, Harrison Harper, on the Project, his podcast, check that out. But he talked about this very topic, and he's a former player. And he's exactly right, and it was exactly how I think. But it's just like, well, first of all, it's a preseason game. It's a nothing game for Stone and them. He's the captain of the team, of the defending Stanley Cup champions. Gets run, and I'm not saying this to be rude or whatever, but we'll call it what it is. Gets run over by a nobody. And you don't understand why the fuck Vegas responds the way they respond. What world are we living in here? I don't give a shit if it was the hit was clean. It was clean. It was fine. That's not the point. When you're let alone a regular veteran player, let alone your captain, gets run over by fucking Johnny Elite Prospect here that you have to go on HockeyDB to look up all the games on. Who is this? You know, number, 67, they got those numbers. Runs your captain over, and you're all, suck it up. Are you serious? What now? When you go back, think back, and a couple of guys that were crying about it were like former tough guys. What did you do in your camps when you were there and in preseason games when you were trying out? Were you not running everybody too and trying to start shit? Like, so Johnny Nobody runs over your captain. We should all just stand around and be, oh, okay. No. Hey, maybe that's why Vegas won the fucking cup, maybe. Maybe if Toronto, I can guarantee if Johnny Nobody runs over Austin Matthews, nobody on the ice, unless Reeves is on the ice, no one's going to do anything for Toronto, and that's the difference. Maybe that's why one has a cup and the other one doesn't. It's even in the preseason, your captain gets run over. Now, it would be different if Crosby or like Austin, well, Austin Matthews ain't going to hit him, but like, I don't know, who's someone good in the league now? You know what I'm saying. Nathan MacKinnon or McDavid or something had hit Stone. No, he wouldn't come flying in to fight him. But, yeah, hockey DB number 78 who hits him. Yeah, you kind of have to go do something, you fucking morons. And I have all these people crying about Stone. Then after the game's done, they're asking Stone about it. He said, oh, the hit was fine. He's playing hard, but I probably won't ever see him again because he's not much of a player. Oh, he's so classless. Ah. I always laugh. These same people go on and on. Well, you know what the NHL needs? They need more personality. Their players are boring. So you have Stone cut a promo on the guy. Well, there's some personality. Oh, then what do? You cry about that he did it. So what do you want? Oh, I get it. A player personality, it's only when they act like goofs, like the Storm Surge, or P.K. Subban and Austin Matthews wearing Gucci purses when they, and high-heeled shoes when they come into the game day. That's personality. But when a guy talks about the game and like having a little bit of jam and, you know, not liking someone. Oh, you got to keep it classy though, Mark. Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. He might've hurt little Hayden's feelings. Like, oh, like he's cutting a fucking wrestling promo with dumb shits, you know, but oh, we need more personality. That's the NHL problem. Then when guys act with personality, like Avery or Marchand and stuff, it's all you do is cry about it and how mean they are. Well, okay, what do you want then? They don't say anything and they're mutes. That's why the league sucks. When they talk to them, oh, then it's they have no class. So, yeah, I guess you have to act goofy and play duck, duck, goose and wear purple hats. Then it's and velour suits. Then it's personality. Oh, fuck. You know, I can remember when Lindros and Steve McClaren got into it in Philadelphia camp. And Lindros goes, well, congratulations, kid. You had your 15 minutes or whatever. Like, no, did anybody cry about that shit? No, you know. But I just laugh. These same people that want personality in the game, then when it happens, they cry about it because, oh, he wasn't nice. Yeah. Yeah, so, I could understand, like, whatever, LA King Boy 42 thinks Stone, calling Stone a baby or whatever. Like, I get it because people are morons. But when it's, like, ex-players, especially, like, ex-tough guys saying it, it's like, fuck, really, boys? Like, you don't know why that happened? Like, you don't... What? Like, I don't know. I'm like, what is this, fucking bizarro world? Like, you don't know why Las Vegas responded the way they did when their captain got run over by a nobody in a preseason game. Ugh. Just... This is why they're going to get rid of fighting. Yeah, that's why they're going to get rid of it, right? Yeah. Well, I don't know. You guys, if you keep going online and crying about nothing... You know, because that's who they listen to, the crybaby bitches online, because that's the voice that they hear. So, yeah, it's Leaf Girl 72 crying about somebody's being mean to Mitch and Osto. You know, that's who they hear. God. But like I said, when it's ex-players saying this shit, it's like, are you serious? On the other side of the coin, Hayden, what's his name, Hodgson here, I don't blame him. Motherfucker's trying to make the team. I don't blame him. Run everybody over that you can see. I mean, as somebody brought up, when you went on HockeyDB and looked it up, you could see, like, the most viewed profiles in the last 24 hours. He was, like, one or two. Well, yeah, because he caught everyone's attention. Who is this? You know, because they caught his attention. That's exactly what he needs to do. So, as Harrison pointed out, everybody was right in this situation. Hayden was right running him over because he needs to. If he doesn't make that hit and sprays snow and just pulls up in the corner, you don't think those coaches are going to notice that? What is this now? You don't think they'll notice that? So, of course, he's got to go right through him. And I'm not saying he's got to do a jump and flying Randy Savage elbow. He didn't. It was a clean shoulder in shot. But at the end of the day, you can't have someone running over your captain in a goddamn preseason game. What do I have to explain? Why do I need to explain this? Like, seriously? I'd like to think people listening to this show get it. I'd like to think I'm talking to the uneducated masses out there, but those people don't get it. But I'd like to think the regular listeners of my show are a little more on the ball. But like, holy shit. I couldn't believe this needed to be explained. That was all through my... And Vegas, every once in a while, I'd come back to the room. We'd just kind of get on the laptop for a quick sec. You know, just whatever, check shit out. And I'd kind of scroll on my shit. And I'm reading my feed. Like, people are crying about this? God damn. Like, all right. Anyway, we're at the 37-minute mark. I'm enough of the preseason shenanigans. I noticed there's a whole bunch of preseason game with, like, no fights. It's like, how does any... if you're on the fourth line, how do you get... Unless you're sniping, how is anybody getting noticed anymore? Like, whatever. I don't know. Again, not that I'm surprised, but I can remember back in the day, the preseason, this is the best time of year. Because this is when, like, all the guys would be up and you'd see all these fights. I remember the Islanders and Rangers. There was, like, 11 fights one game. Oh, Dean Ewan's fighting everybody. And yeah, those are the best games. I can remember just waiting with bated breath to get Kramer's preseason tape, the compilation where everybody would feel, because there'd be games like all over the country, right? They play all these neutral site things and all this and rookie camp games and people would be in there with their camcorders filming. Oh, hey, go to my YouTube channel, Scott Parker with the New Jersey Devils. Did you know he was drafted by the Devils first? Yeah, he was in camp. I got a bunch of his fights up there. Yep. Check it out. Fight Jason Hamilton and Aaron Downey and yeah, check it out before because he went back. He never signed with New Jersey, went back to the draft and got drafted by Colorado. The rest is history. But yes, New Jersey camp fights are on my YouTube channel. Check it out. But yeah, there was always that shit. People filming Bissonnette and Dan Carcillo in Pittsburgh Penguins camp. I think that's one of my top viewed videos of all time. But yeah, you used to wait and everybody, all the guys would get together that had footage, send it all to Kramer, Dave out there. And he'd put it all together. And of course, he was at Traverse City in Michigan filming that rookie tournament. Great Bougard stuff. Brian McGrattan with the Detroit Red Wings. Zach Fitzgerald with the Blues. Little Nate Kaiser, DJ King. He's great. Lots of great fights from the old Traverse City tournament back in the day. Late 90s, early 2000s. And he put that on there. And then all the clips from around the country. And you'd see... Oh, yeah, man. Sean Legault and Oilers camp and all that shit. So I love the preseason back in the day. Mel Engelstad fighting Probert and Reed Simpson in one game. And tremendous. So, yeah, anyway. But now it's nobody's fighting anybody. And, you know, now when they do, why? It was a clean hit. No, yeah, whatever. different times. But anyway, let's get on to this Bob Probert video, all right? So this is a link sent to me. Top 10 Bob Probert fights of all time from the Detroit Nation. Detroit Sports Nation, pardon me. When the discussion comes up about the best hockey fighters of all time, former Red Wing Bob Probert is right at the top of the list. It seemed like every time Probert took the ice, he was looking to use his fist to his advantage, and this happened often. Throughout his career, Probert had a plethora of fights. That's a good word. I like plethora. As one fan put together what he believes are the best Probert fights in his 16-year career. Hey, I'm going to give you a little trivia question here, folks. Who was Bob Probert's last fight of his career against? Brad Norton of the LA Kings. There you go. Fun fact for you. Hockey fans, we give you the Bob Probert fights of all time. All right, click on this link. Here we go. Oh, it's a YouTube video. Well, all right. Hopefully he has okay. He has the description here, so we don't have to look this up. All right. Well, top 10 NHL fights of Bob Probert. He doesn't have a... like a 1 through 10, it just kind of, it just dates them. So we're going to start at the beginning. Well, I mean, yeah, okay. You have to start at the start. November 11th, 1985 in Vancouver against Craig Cox. This is actually the less famous of their two fights. Oh, he's got both of the Cox fights on here. All right. Well, this was sort of the less famous of the two, but I say a better fight than the second one. Yeah. Cox and Probert. This is a hell of an NHL debut for Probert against Craig Cox, who's a tough guy in Vancouver. Yeah, and they battled out toe-to-toe. If you want to go to YouTube. Actually, folks, as you're listening to this, I will put the link to this video that this guy put here. Beak Incorporated, apparently. This video, 2016, he made this. I will put the link to this video where it's 9 minutes and it's got the 10 fights on here. So, it's just in the description that I'm reading, but I've seen all these fights 1,000 times. So, yes, Bob Probert, Craig Cox, from Vancouver. The second fight he's got on here is January 21st, 1987 against Todd Ewan of the St. Louis Blues. And this fight, this night, of course, is famous for Todd Ewan one punching Bob Probert in their first fight. which I'm sure if social media had been around in the day, that would have been trending news, I could tell you that. So that was a big KO by Todd Ewan, and Probert was down and feeling it. It wasn't like, oh, he went down and popped back up. No, he was down. He eventually obviously got up, got off the ice, and later in the game went right back at Todd Ewan and did great. And I'm sure, you know, obviously at different times, I'm sure I don't want to say he was, but I would probably think he had a concussion. And if that had happened today, obviously, I think he'd be in protocol, probably would not be coming back in that game. But he did, came back, and did really well against Todd Ewan. But Todd Ewan with the Blues, again, he was a big young guy. Well, both of them. Like, I mean, it wasn't like Probert was some veteran. He was 2 years in, a year and a half in at this point. But yeah, just two young guys trying to make names. And yeah, great tilt. Then again, November 19th, 87, it's the rematch with Craig Cox in Joe Louis. Of course, this is the famous fight that's on, that everyone's seen 10 million times, because of course, Don Cherry showed it on Coach's Corner. Plus, he put it on one of it on the, is it the first Rock'em, on one of his Rock'em Sock'em videos. It's gotta be one, well, if it's 87, it's gotta be one of his very first Rock'em Sock'em videos. So that made it famous, was the second bout. And, Probert, I would definitely give Probert the decision in this fight with Cox. But again, Cox stood in there. I love Craig Cox. I mean, some people, oh, he's a catcher, you know, whatever. Eh, you know, whatever. You wanted a guy, if you want to get an action fighter that didn't hold on, fought everybody, Craig Cox is your guy, man. If you're a fight fan, you have to like Craig Cox. That's bottom line. Next one he has on here from December 14th, 87 was Tenorti. When Tenorti, again, young, big young kid coming up with that prospect with the Rangers. And this is the one, yeah. Tenorti's doing all right, but then Probert just starts, like, taking over and, like, swinging him into his fist. And, of course, Harry Neal does the famous, basically at school's in and Tenorti's getting an education. And, yeah, he took some lumps in this one. Big win for Probert. But, yeah, Tenorti really showed jam, though, and, like, didn't bail in the fight, stood in there, took it, and, of course, went on to have a, Mark Tenorti went on to have a hell of a career, big, big, tough D-man, and, probably won more fights than he lost, for sure, but, young guy learning the way. Next fight was February 15th, 88, against Ken Baumgartner when Bomber was in L.A., yeah, wearing the, you know, the yellow unis and shit, yellow-purple. This is actually a really good fight. Baumgartner and Probert had fought in the Memorial Cup in junior when Probert was with the Sioux and Bomber was in with the Prince Albert Raiders the year in 85 when Prince Albert won the Memorial Cup. He fought Probert a couple times. Of course, they had the famous penalty box fight where they fell into the box and all that stuff. Look, it's all, everything's on YouTube. You can look it up. But Baumgartner does really well in this fight. This is a good fight. They go for a long time. It's by no means a big win by Probert or anything like that, but just a real solid bout. Next one, New Year's Eve, December 31st, Stu Grimson. This is round one. How many times they fight? 13, I think. This is round one. Actually, and if you type in Stu Grimson, Bob Probert, all 13 of their fights or whatever will come up, but there's also the extras from Ice Guardians, and it's Stu watching the fight and commentating on it. It's a little clip on the side, so definitely check that out. And yeah, this is their first fight, and Stu just comments that it was real tough because he goes, he was really surprised how, because again, this is the first time they had fought, that how fast Probert got out of his gear and just had nothing to hold on to. So he's like, I'm kind of giving him rabbit shots because what are you going to do? But, you know, he held on. Bob definitely picked up the win, but, Grimson again stood in there. The next fight, of course, this is the famous one, with Dave Brown, when Brownie's with Edmonton, because this was the fight, this was the kingpins of the league, the Probert Brown. A lot of people, when they debate their top 10 of all time, it's Probert 1A or Brown, whatever. There's that debate. Some people have Brown as number one. And I get it. I'm not saying that they're wrong. Again, it's opinion. You're not, there's nothing to be right or wrong about. It's an opinion, but I get why Brown is in the discussion as being the best of all time. I get it. They had two fights in their career. The first one, when Brown was in Philly, that fight sucked. It was just wrestling and nobody did anything. But this one, Brown tried to kind of get the jump on him a little bit, but Probert came back, yanked him off his skates, and they go toe-to-toe, but he catches Brown, and Brown kind of goes down to a knee, and Probert definitely picks up the win, and this is a big win, and this is the, and again, when the top 10 debate or the top or the best of all time debate happens, and the Brown Probert debate is going on, it's always, well, Bob's 1-0 against them. Well, yeah, you know, you got a point, you know, again, if it's a best of five or best of seven, is you know, Probert going 7-0? Well, I think Brown could definitely beat him a few times for sure. Again, Probert's not, contrary to Probert fanboys, would say, I mean, Probert was definitely beatable and he definitely lost without a doubt. And, you know, and Probert's one of my favorite guys. This isn't some indictment of Bob Probert, but it's like, you talk to some people, Bobby never lost, or if they did, he had some excuse, and, you know, no, it's, do I think Dave Brown could beat Bob Probert in a fight? Yeah, I do, you know, for sure, but obviously Probert can beat Brown, because he did, so, but yeah. The next fight, December 2nd, Ty Domi with the Rangers. Without watching the video, if this is the top 10 fights of Bob Probert, I would assume this is the second fight, the rematch, where Eiserman's doing the belt on the thing. I always say, even in the first fight, I mean, visually, I get where the Domi thing comes from, because Probert's bleeding, and Domi's this small underdog, nobody, you know, up-and-comer, cuts open the champ, and does the belt, and all that, and makes the big show of it. I get why people would say, oh, I think Domi won or whatever. Even when you watch the fight, I think if you break it down, I actually don't think Ty won the first one either, but it was a moral victory, I guess we could put it that way. Visually, it looked good for him. The second fight, definitely Probert was the aggressor for sure, and he gave it to Domi pretty good. And again, Domi's credit with, you know, with the hard head and everything else, he took it all, smiled the whole time. He certainly got out-punched. If we're going to the judges' scorecard, I think it's Probert unanimously. But this really put Ty Domi on the map. And it showed that he had NHL toughness. And it was a time, man. Everybody's still, well, here we are, you know, 20-some years, almost 30 years later, and we're still talking about it. So, it was definitely... and like I said, it was just watching Eiserman do the belt thing, and man, what a time. Yeah, it was, because again, we were in high school, and that made the news, right? That was all going around on all the news, because again, this is before, so all this shit was before social media and all this, so you had to rely on the hockey news and like local global news, and you know, fortunately they covered it well. And the good thing with being in Saskatoon, I completely forgot about this, but our cable company, we got Detroit Cable, so I got to see like the whole beginnings of this and like the lead up, and it was like a heavyweight title fight. I know Cherry was talking about it on Hockey Night in Canada. Of course, it was New York versus Detroit, so they weren't going to put it on Hockey Night in Canada because he had to have a Canadian team, right? But Cherry went to the game, like he, you know, whatever. Or was that the Crowder game he went? It was the Crowder game he went to, pardon me. But he was hyping the shit out of this. And I can remember even the hockey news, of all things, the front cover of the hockey news had like Battle of the Big Apple. And it had like the height and weight, like it was a boxing matchup on the front cover. So everybody was waiting for this rematch and all this shit. It was hyped, so the news was there. And I mean, I was watching it, because I actually, at the time, I do now, but at the time, I didn't like Domi at all. I was like, who is this little goof? And of course, I was always a Probert guy, so it was like, oh, Bobby, you got to kill this guy. And so I was pumped with the result of this fight. But, you know, I've since become a Domi fan. But, yeah, what a fight. The next one, March 4th, 94, Marty McSorley in Pittsburgh, of course. Yeah, I mean, one of the longest NHL fights ever. They go the length of the ice back and forth. Two of the best, well, obviously Probert's the best, but I think Marty's got to be in the discussion too. Maybe not best of all time, but I always say Marty's in my top 10. Did it forever. Him and Probert fought numerous times. This is a great fight. I remember, again, on Coach's Corner, I remember Cherry showed the whole thing, which was rare. They show clips usually, but he showed the whole thing, and Yeah, oh, it was awesome. Great fight, both guys. And then finally, March 22nd, 1996, Reed Simpson. Yeah, this is this fight doesn't get talked about very often, but yeah, they went toe-to-toe, and right at the end, Probert really, he catches Simpson with a couple uppercuts, and they're going toe-to-toe, and he catches Simpson, and Simpson goes down. Again, it's not like, oh, he's locked out, and the trainer's got to come up and help him. It wasn't the Grimson on Simpson knockout. But, you know, just kind of a flash, I'd say TKO-ish. I mean, Simpson gets up on his own and everything, but yeah, I think Probert definitely caught him. But it's a real great toe-to-toe fight, and kind of an unusual fight for Probert. He doesn't usually fight like that. Usually, you know, it's kind of more technical and you know, leaning away and then come back. But this was like they hung in there and just toe-to-toe video fight. And yeah, that fight actually doesn't get talked about a lot, but that was a great tilt. I have some really good pictures from that fight. Yeah, so there you go, the top 10. Yeah, I agree, man. These are all great fights. I mean, you could go on and on. I mean, you could talk about... Okay, are you talking about, like, just good fights in general or, like, memorable... if you're going to talk about, like, some of the most talked-about Probert fights, obviously you got to talk about the Crowder stuff, the trilogy there. You know, were any of those fights, like, great fights in terms of... not really. They were fine, but, I mean, Probert had a lot better. These fights were all better than those. A really good underrated fight that people don't talk about is Kevin Maguire. Not the one where Probert hits him when he's down because he went after Eisenman. But no, when Maguire's in Toronto, that's a really good fight. Another good fight that I watched a while ago that never gets talked about is Michel Petit had a really great fight with Probert. He actually hangs in there really good with him and gives it as good as he's getting. That's a really good fight. I'm just trying to think of, like you said, Probert, there were so many. It's just like, they all run together. I mean, he had the one with Odgers and the Kimball ones that he kind of, you know, took around out of Kimball pretty good. Great fight with Grant Marshall. That was a really good fight. Great fight with Brian Marchment. Look up that one. That's a really good fight too. Of course, the you know, he dropped Parker. Probert was in a million great fights. You know, this is obviously, I can't argue with this list, though. These were all great fights, you know, and they're all memorable in their own way. That was a cool list. And like I said, I'll put the link in the description of the podcast here. So if you want to just check it out, it's a 9-minute video. Was it 9:34? I mean, the diehard Probert fans, I mean, everybody's seen these fights a million times, but, you know, for some folks out there haven't seen a couple of these ones. The Baumgartner fight in LA is really good. And check out the Memorial Cup Baumgartner Probert fights. You all have a laugh in the penalty box one. Bomber standing up on the bench afterwards. The fights aren't that good, but it just looks funny. And plus they got the Cooper Alls on. Oh, it's a different time, you know. But there you have it, folks. The Bob Probert's top 10 fights, one fan's opinion anyway. And like I said, it's, you know, everyone has different favorite the Cochran fight, the Bob McGill one. I mean, Gary Nyland, the big uppercut. I mean, you could go on and on forever with the Probert fights, but there you have it, folks. Well, there you go. That's my return. Oh, the return that at least a dozen people were amped up for. No, I just wanted to get back on here, get back in the groove. I've talked to a few ex-players about doing some stuff. Speaking of Bob Probert, I know I've talked about it a million times and I'm way behind. But yes, the Bob Probert Invitational Tournament will be happening shortly. I need to come up with the bracket and get John on for the episode breakdown. I think I might get Taylor on. Maybe we'll talk about the results episode. I got to do all this stuff. But work is about to slow down here. I mean, we're going to probably... You know, October is here. Once we get through this and kind of after that Thanksgiving coming up here, and once that happens, work will slow down, I'd like to think. Maybe not, but we'll see with the whole job thing. You know, I could maybe devote a little more time to the show and getting up guests and everything else. And I think the episodes are still all right. I think they're informative. I have some fun talks. The lists were fun and stuff. But I'd like to get a few more guests on. Maybe not just players, but just, I like having other people to banter with. So, and I think people enjoy listening to the banter instead of just me, rolling, monotoning on and, you know, as I blah, 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 on and on. But as I'm doing right now, droning on, but we'll come to an end here. Back at it here, folks. So hope you enjoy this episode. Thank you very much for tuning in. Oh, Fourth Line Voice, THPN, the Hockey Podcast Network, on Instagram. There you go. I finally joined Instagram. I'm still trying to figure out how to use it. But as soon as I get some more time, I will become a little more Instagram. I'll learn Instagram-ese. Once I learn that platform, I'll be a little more active. But yes, I do have an Instagram account now. Oh boy, more social media. But follow me on Facebook or Twitter. And now on Instagram at Fourth Line Voice THPN. So there we go, folks. Thank you very much for tuning in. As I always say, I know there's a million podcasts to listen to. The fact that you decided to sit down and listen to this one, I greatly appreciate it. And I want to thank you. And thanks to everybody that sent me the texts and the PDMs asking how Vegas was and enjoy the trip and all that. I greatly appreciate it, boys. Thank you. And it's good to be back talking to you guys. And you know what? We'll do this again on Sunday. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you soon.
And you people that don't like fighting, how many of you did you walk out and get a coffee while that was on?